last week and covered the characteristics of certain men. And we took a look at the characteristics and some of the traits that we saw there in Jude regarding those men. And just a real quick recap, there was someone here who had made mention, and I've thought about this myself. Back, way back in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were created, you have Cain and Abel, I don't think there was any misunderstanding of who God was. I think it was very clear. It was very apparent. There wasn't philosophies. There wasn't a bunch of philosophical, analytical views in which you could pursue or know or relate to God. It was plain cut. It was clear. And yet, Cain blatantly turned his back on God and chose to do what he did. And someone had mentioned, how could someone do that? Well, that's who we're warned about, is to be careful. But I think in reading this, Jude wasn't just talking to certain people. He was talking to every single believer, because we all come, or we can come, in crisis where our faith is attacked. And you know what? We all have the tendency to allow or for our faith to become shipwrecked. So that's what we kind of looked at last week. So we're going to take a look at today, Jude 3 and 4. Quickly just reading it and getting into the study. Beloved, when I gave diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in awares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into licentiousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he tells us to contend, right? Just quick responses. When contend comes to mind, what are some other words, or how would you describe or define contend? Deal with it. Okay. Fight. Okay. Contend is a root word. And you would think that there'd be some kind of correlation between contentious. What's the root word for contentious? Contend. Well, no. We are not to contend contentiously. We're not. If we have that heart, if a door opens for us to become apologetic or to share our faith or to defend, and we're immediately like, oh man, I can't wait to lay into them and just shred, maybe that might be the time for us to quietly go before the Lord and say, Lord, please tame my tongue so that I am quick to listen and slow to speak. I don't think God's heart and desire is for us to contend contentiously. But I do want to look at how it is that we are to contend. And reading simply what he says here, how is it that we are to contend? Earnestly. Earnestly contend. Contend. Earnestly. You know, there is a strategic ministry in contending for the faith once delivered for us. And it is to anyone listening, to anyone here in this room, that contending for the faith, God may begin to reveal or make known to you that contending for the faith in your sphere, in what God has entrusted or given to you, may be in your home. If you're a small home and it's just you and your wife, he may be instructing you, I want you to contend for this marriage. Contend for the faith. Contend that you see the Lord continue to build, stir up, and allow there to be fruit in your marriage, your family, your children. It might be work. It might be Pete has been entrusted to oversee the flock here. He contends. So that sphere may be different for each one of us, but to earnestly contend is the same for each one of us. We are to earnestly contend. And when we've, in wrestling, you know, there's a certain point when you're wrestling that you get your second win and you feel great. You feel really, really good. But when you get tired, you're fatigued. I don't care how much is here in your mind that you desire to press forward. When you're tapped out, you're tapped out. And we're going to look later. We need to make sure as the body of Christ, that when we're beat down or the enemy's just hit us or we're just getting bombarded left and right and we're pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not forsaken, beat down but not destroyed, that we're there in the body of Christ to what? Build each other up, to uphold, to steady, maybe to get down and feed little sips of water through a little tiny dropper because maybe that's all they can handle at the time. I think maybe the pursuit or the desire to contend earnestly might be kind of tampered or dampened a little bit, kind of in this seeker-friendly age that we live in, where everything's positive and negative. Hey, let's focus on being positive. Let's not do anything to be negative. Well, there's no mention of positive or negative in God's word. It's truth, not. And we're to speak the truth in what? Love. And speaking the truth in love takes time to learn. Because some of us have what? we got. Give us an opportunity. Just spark it. Just bring it. Go ahead and push the buttons the right way and see what comes out. See how sharp I can. It takes time to learn to tame this so that as we speak the truth that God's working in our lives, it's being done in a way of love. So I think it's a call for earnest contending. It's a spiritual warfare term. It's meaning to do battle for, to stand up for, speak out for, live a life dedicated for the faith. And I personally think of... I wrestled, I loved it, but I never won a wrestling match. But I never got pinned. See, I was the kind of wrestler that once they said go, I could stand there, and I would just lock my body, and it really didn't matter what they did, they just couldn't move me. And I was content, even if I lost technically, to look the other one and go, you didn't pin me. And the Lord calls us to stand. He calls us to stand. And sometimes that is exactly what we need to do, is just stand. We don't need to throw blows. We don't need to be there defensively. We just need to learn to stand and not be moved. And Ray, remember when we went fishing? Your body didn't respond too well to that. I'm sorry to bring it up. But it became difficult for you to stand on that boat, right? When we're in raging waters, we might be anchored. We're on a solid ship. I'll tell you what, it still rocks, and it takes a while before those legs get adjusted to stand. And we got to learn how to stand. So how are we to contend? Let's quickly look at Acts 20:24. But I consider my own life of no importance to me whatsoever, as long as I can finish the course ahead of me, the task I received from the Lord Yeshua, to declare in depth the good news of God's love and kindness. Now listen, I know that none of you people among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I testify on this day that I am innocent of all the blood of all. For I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the whole plan of God. Watch out for yourselves and for all the flock in which the Holy Spirit, Ruach Kodesh. This translation here is just, it's a translation by a Messianic Jew who translated it for Jews who would understand. And I just like the version, and he doesn't replace the word Holy Spirit. He puts in there Ruach HaKodesh. With the Holy Spirit has placed you as leaders to shepherd God's messianic community, which he won for himself at the cost of his own son's blood. I know that after I leave, look at this, verse 29, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and they won't spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and teach perversions of the truth in order to drag away the disciples after themselves. So stay alert. Remember, now this is what I want to focus on. It's in context to what we read in Jude. Now here, listen, look at the heart, listen to the attitude, and maybe ask yourselves, have I ever displayed this kind of heart or attitude that we're about to read? 31, so stay alert. Remember that for 3 years, night and day, with tears in my eyes, I never stopped warning you. Can we say that? You know, with Joseph and Kalin, I want to say for at least the first 2 years of their life, well, Joseph, maybe a little bit longer, every day I made it a point. I did not stop. I made sure they heard their verses that the Lord gave me for them. I made sure that they heard it every single day. Guess what? They don't hear that from me every day. You get tired of saying the same thing. You forget one time, and Paul here, he warned every day, night and day for 3 years with tears, warning them. You guys, savage. And now I entrust you to the care of the Lord and to the message of his love and kindness, for it can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who have been set apart for God. Can you hear the love and kindness in his heart? Can you also hear the care that's in his heart? Do we have that for each other? Do we have that for our children, for our family? Colossians 1, 27, 28. For to them God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, Whom we preach? The person of Jesus Christ. Now, presenting the person of Jesus Christ in the various workplaces or in where God has us may seem, look, or its method may be very different. But if the person of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed through you as you speak, and the Lord will instruct you, then you can know this. If you're warning and you're teaching every man, proclaiming him, what was Paul's desire at the end of that? Or the end result, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We want to make sure that in what we do, we take people back to the person of Jesus Christ. We encourage them. Look, he is there. He is. So how are we to contend? Well, to contend earnestly, to contend with love, to contend with kindness. Contend, or to contend with Jesus, having him instruct us as we go along. But let's take a look now at 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. Faithful is the word. If anyone reaches out to overseership, he desires a good work. Then it behooves the overseer to be without reproach, husband of one wife, temperate, sensible, well-ordered, hospitable, apt to teach, not a drunkard, not contentious, not greedy of ill gain, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. We need to make sure that this is talking about those who desire to be in a position directly over God's people. But maybe ask the Lord if those things need to be a part of how we go about in our daily lives and how we speak and what we do. And for some of us who are a little bit raw or a little bit untempered, that might take a little bit of while before that begins to demonstrate itself. But he who began a good work in you will what? Be faithful to complete it until the day of his son, Jesus Christ. So, looking at what we read so far, what do you think is being conveyed in the importance that God has on this issue for contending for the faith? Well, as you guys think about that, just take it before the Lord, and I'm confident that he's already doing a work, what needs to be done. Contending for the faith once delivered, the faith. I thought about that for a while. I wasn't really sure. What do you mean, contend for the faith? What do you mean, the faith? So, in reading and looking up some of the verses that had the word faith, I found it interesting that the Old Testament only has the word faith three times, four times. That's it. The rest of the 296 times that it's mentioned in Scripture is in the New Testament. Okay, interesting. Now, before we get into Luke 8:25, do you remember the story of Job when Satan came in among the sons of God? God saw him, and what was his question to him? From where do you come? Regardless of who the enemy was, he knew that he could not be curt or sly or deceitful or He had to answer the one whom was being addressed that question. Now, I want to take that kind of look and see, one, who it is that's asking the question. Now, you guys remember the story when the disciples and Jesus got onto the boat and they were going out and everything was all right, and then all of a sudden Jesus goes down into the bottom deck, falls asleep, and what happens? And what do the disciples do because there's a big old storm around them? They panic. They freak out. They think their life is going to end. Now, Luke 8:25, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And as I was reading all the scriptures, and I came to this one, it was like the rest of it I read, God's word, I know, but it's like they weren't important, and all of a sudden I was fixed on that one question. Where is your faith? Where is my faith? think the answer is here. When he says, and being afraid, they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the wind and water to obey him? Now, where was their faith? They all of a sudden were changed in attitude. They were changed in this life and death situation that was at hand when they realized what? Whoa, Jesus is commanding the winds, the waves. Where was their faith? Where is your faith? And I thought about that. Where was it? Was their faith in the waves and the winds? No, it wasn't in the waves and the wind. And then it hit me. We walk by not by their faith was in their sight. That's where their faith was. It was right here. That is not where our faith should be. How many times do we walk and according to what this right here tells us and what we can process is how then we are affected and even our walk with the Lord begins to become affected. And, oh my God, I'm having a panic attack. I need, oh my God, oh. Where is our faith? Well, it's good that the Lord instructs us because we walk by faith and not by sight. So now let's take a look at Luke 22:32. But I entreated concerning you. Now this was when Jesus was just about ready to be taken away. They're in the room right when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And he tells Peter, Satan came and asked for you by name. And this is his response. But I entreated concerning you that your faith might not fail. Whew, praise the Lord that we have this high priest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us. And I want to say that I'm confident to say that if he told Peter that he entreated, that he prayed, that his faith would not fail, I'm pretty sure that he wants to speak and let you guys know, I pray that your guys' faith won't fail. I pray that it won't. I pray that it won't. And when you have turned back, confirm your brothers. Now, I want to look at this next scripture because now this is Peter after the day of Pentecost, after they were filled with the Spirit. And look at what he says. This is Peter, the one. Now replace Peter in that story with you. Put yourself there. With all of who you are, with everything you know, everything you've been taught, your skills, your resolve, your determination, your fortitude, and you're there with Jesus. You've walked with him, you've talked with him, you've laughed with him, you've rested on him, you've joked with him, you might have even wrestled with him. I mean, wow, you're there with Jesus. And Jesus says, oh, faith and blood has not revealed this to you, but man, you said it right. I am the Christ. I will fight for you till death. Oh, Peter. this morning's not going to pass and the rooster's not going to crow before you deny me three times. And you are sincere. You are absolutely adamant. There's no, it's impossible. You're thinking it. Like, there must be. And there you go the first time. Hey, aren't you the disciple? And just in a bat of an eye, you may even been resolved. Like, there's no way I can. Aren't you the disciple? No. And you walk away thinking, man, I can't. And again and again. And then, to top it all off, the eyes that could speak the most perfect love, gentleness, and kindness reach over across all the way through the distance. Have you ever been driving? And someone's eye catches your eye from a distance? Has that ever happened to you? Well, Jesus' eye ran across that whole distance and it caught Peter's eye. And what did Peter do? He remembered. Wow. But now here we see Peter in Acts 3:14 and 16. But you denied the holy and just one, and you asked for a man, a murderer, to be granted to you, and the author of life you killed, whom God raised up from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and on the faith of his name, this one whom you see and know was made firm by his name. He's talking about the beggar that was outside of the temple. You remember that? Peter and John came into the temple, and the beggar was there. Alms, alms for the poor. Oh, silver and gold have we none, but what we do have, we give you in the name of Jesus. Receive. He was healed. And the faith, that name. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him with your eyes? I haven't. But let me tell you, though having not seen him, we have a joy inexpressible. Do we not? Do we not? So if this joy is so inexpressible and this joy is full and we haven't seen him, just imagine as this day approaches when we will see him with our eyes. Wow. Whew. I can't imagine the fullness of joy that's going to be on that day. Acts 13, 4 and 8, then these indeed, sent out by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed away to Cyprus. And coming into Salamis, they announced the word of God in the synagogues to the Jews, and they also John as the helper. And passing through the island as far as Paphos, they found a certain conjurer, a false prophet, a Jew named Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This one, having called Barnabas and Saul to him, he sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the conjurer, for his name was so translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. What was the faith that he was seeking to turn the proconsul from? Don't you remember? We just read it. What did the proconsul came to hear? The word of God. Verse 7, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man, this one having called Barnabas and Saul to him, he sought to hear the what? Word of God. And do we not have the Word of God written for us? That's been once and for all delivered to us. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, even as it has been written, but the just shall live by what? Faith. Now, this is where I want to concise faith very simply in the lowest common denominator possible. Now, faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. The what? Evidence of things not seen. Look at Colossians 2:17. It's talking about Jesus, and in Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. It goes to talk about how he disarmed principalities and made a public spectacle of them. And then Paul states, but all these things that I talked about, those traditions that you want to hold on to, and the things that you, they're a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now quickly look at Colossians 1:15. Who is the what? Of the? Okay. Can you see invisible? Oh, so God is the thing, person, who you cannot see? So then, what is the evidence of that invisible God? Who? Who is the image? He's the evidence. And in all the verses that as I continued reading about faith, you know, the person of Jesus Christ could easily replace faith and be put there. Where is your faith? Our faith should be in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our faith. And anything that would seek to remove our faith from being in him needs to be dealt with. So Jude 19 through 25, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to contrast those that Jude is warning about, those that he's asking to contend for the faith, are those certain men who are sensual, having not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We can build ourselves upon that foundation which no man has laid and has already been laid, which is who? Christ. Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians. No other foundation has been laid except that which has already been laid, which is in the person of Jesus Christ. But how else is it that we can keep ourselves in that faith? Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want to quickly take a look at Galatians 3, 5, and 8. Then he, who is it that we're talking about here? Then he supplying the Spirit. Who supplies the Spirit? Is he short on any resources? Is his hand too short that he doesn't have, oh man, they needed a really big dose of faith and oh man, I, you know what? The world needs so much faith. I kind of ran out of the measure of faith to get. Is his hand too short that he can't deliver what is needed to you? But he supplying the Spirit to you and working works of power in you, is it by works of law or by the what? Hearing of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. There we go. Jesus. Jesus. Even as Adam believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, know then that those of faith, these are the sons of Adam in the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preach the gospel before Abraham, all the nations will be blessed in you. 1 John 4:13 through 17, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because of his Spirit he has given to us. That Jesus is the Son of God. God abides in him, and he in God, and we have known and have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and the one abiding in love abides in God, and God in him. By this, love has been perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, that as he is, we are also in the world. Keep yourselves in the love of God. God is love, then keep yourself abiding in the vine. For apart from him, what? But abiding in him, what? We will what? Bear what? Abide in him and you will bear fruit or bear much fruit. Much. Verse 22 of Jude. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and with others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment, despotted by the flesh. Now I want to stop right there. The Lord will bring individuals, our family, and he will give us what is needed to discern maybe where we're at or where they're at. We want to be very careful. We want to make sure that on those that we are to have compassion on, we need to make sure that we are giving that compassion, because we're talking about the well-being, the health spiritually of somebody who could be right there on the line about ready to just give up and throw in the towel. And on some have compassion, but on others we need to be very, very careful. And you know what? We might see that they're ready to be saved, but you know what? We need to just snatch them out, and then the garment that's defiled, we don't even want to get near that. We don't even want to touch that. We need to make sure that we're walking close to the Lord so that when he tells us, maybe you need to withdraw, maybe you need to draw near, I think you need to be careful. So I want to take a look at James 3. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but is earthly, beastly, devilish. For where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion in every foul deed. But the wisdom from above is first truly peaceable, forbearing, yielding, full of mercy and good fruits, not partial and not pretended. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for the ones making peace. Is anyone going to correct me? I read on purpose, but the wisdom that is from above is first truly peaceable. And I did not read pure. See, don't we think sometimes that, oh, you know what, we need to just make peace. So whatever we got to do to make peace, let's do it. Let's make peace here. And that's our goal. Well, you will never have the peace that God intends if things first aren't pure. Remember what Jesus said? Peace I give, not as the world gives. What does that mean? That means the world can give what? It can give a form of peace, can it not? That's not the peace that Jesus gives. And the wisdom that's from above recognizes and is able to work out the peace which is first pure, then peaceable. And I think, I know for me, sometimes I wish it was a typo and that word pure wasn't in there, because it'd be so much easier to just kind of brush things under the carpet if I could just avoid the pure part and just, hey, let's just try to be at peace here. Let's be positive, not negative. The Lord will grant you wisdom. He will instruct you how to do that in the least invasive manner possible. But sometimes there's no other choice but get in there and just get the whole thing. So now unto him who is able, back up to verse 24 of Jude, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless. Now, how many of you have fallen so much that you're afraid to get back up, or if you get back up, you don't want to run because it's just ingrained in you? I'm going to fall again. So I'm not going to run. I just got up and I just got myself cleaned up. I am not going to run only to fall flat on my face again. No, thank you. Well, the more we learn, the more we build ourselves upon our most holy faith, the more that we understand and realize that it is him who is able, not we who are able, but him who is able to what? To keep you from falling. And when we have that confidence in him, we can run with abandonment. We can run full steam ahead. To present you faultless, oh man, I have enough faults as it is. There is no, well, that's my eyes looking at myself. But now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the one wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I want to close off with this being our prayer. And you guys make it your prayer as we read it. Malachi 3, 11 through 18. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Amen. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, said the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yes, they that work wickedness are set up. Even they that tempt God are delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book was remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. So, Lord, we want to be a people who remember you continuously. And, Lord, we desire your fear to be upon us. That fear is that fear that is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord that is safety to those who run and regard it, and it is safety for their children. Lord, we desire to speak to one another often of your goodness. Lord, we desire to be written in that book of remembrance for those who fear your name. And Lord, the work and the blessing and the benefit of having your Spirit upon us in full measure will do the work exactly that is needed in each one of us. So, Lord, would you protect this fellowship of believers? Would you protect us as a body? Lord, that we would have compassion on those that need compassion, and Lord, to those who need to be dealt with, Lord, that we can be your servants that would allow you to deal with them in such a manner. And we'll trust you for that. But Lord, keep us safe. Lord, would you build us up upon our most holy faith, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. So please encourage us, build us, lift us up, draw us close to you. We love you with all of our heart. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.